My car's making a funny noise, and
What do you mean, funny? I don't understand funny. What, like, I amuse you? Like, this is a funny place? Funny like a clown? What do you mean, funny? What?
What are you doing?
Tell me.
How much is this going to cost me?
What do you mean, how much is it going to cost you? What do you mean? What are you doing? Embarrass me in front of my mechanics? What's wrong with you? Get out of here. Leave the keys and get out of here. Get out of here. Get out of my shop right now. Get out of here. I'll get back with you.
When it comes to auto and truck repair, not everyone you deal with is a good fella. At Perfection Autoworks, we take car repair very seriously. From your brakes, belts, and hoses to funny noises under the hood. 323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com.
South Korea bans Google and Apple app payments. Hurricane Ida interrupts communication in the East, brute force cybersecurity threats over the holidays, and passwords might be a thing of the past in the future. All that and more next in the Computer Doctor Show.
You're listening to the Computer Doctor Show, your source for technology subjects affecting your business and personal life during this new normal. Your host is an award-winning office technician and IT specialist, author, tutor, ethical hacker, and recent winner on localbest.com as the best computer shop in Tucson. Broadcasting live, here's Aaron Moss.
Hello, Tucson and podcast world. Welcome to the Computer Doctor Show, your headquarters for scam awareness, science and cutting-edge technology talk. This is episode 60. I'm Aaron Moss, your host. Good to have you with us every Saturday, and we post all of our shows and bonus content on computerdoctorshow.com. Again, computerdoctorshow.com. Our open lines, 520-790-2040. Feel free to call in anytime with your comments and questions and even complaints. We can take your calls. Co-hosting today is Cy from the cast of The Unscrewed Theater. Hey, Cy, good to have you with us again.
Hello, thanks for having me.
All right. We do have a great show for you today, starting with some tech news that had broke this week. First, South Korea is the first country in the world seeking to ban App Store payment monopolies. And so the way this works, basically, it's a law that's, first of all, it's a law that's not yet active. It's still in the process of being written. But basically, stores like the Google Play Store, the Apple Store, the Microsoft Store, they might be replaced by third-party stores. And this may open up the doors to other third parties having their own stores that are compatible with your various devices. So what do you think about that, Si?
Well, it's a sticky debate, just because the part of the reason that the Google, Apple, Microsoft all sort of keep such tight control on their landscape is
security,
because they want to be where the literal buck stops for how the money moves around. But at the same time, that's so they can take a slice off the top. So, you know, there's a healthy debate there to be had.
There is a 30% slice, as you say, that is taken off. So, for example, if you were to release an app and then you were to sell it on one of these app sites, number one, it would have to go through an approval process. Mm-hmm. They would have to make sure that it doesn't contain any spyware or any type of malware or any type of anything that would damage
anything overreaching.
Yes, or anything encroaching.
Yes,
you know, that's another word that we might be hearing more of. But things like this are possible. So, for example, I'm a member of Netflix. Many people are, and I was a member of Netflix even when they had their mailing DVD, you know, service.
I held on to my DVD side way past when I should have, in fact, and kept paying for it.
Right. So Netflix has an app. They have an app on the App Store, the Google Play Store, all these other stores. They have an app, but you're not really paying for the membership through necessarily the app,
right?
Because they were, you know, you can still have a membership through the site, and mm-hmm. then it can be approved through their store. So although you have an app and you do have a paid service, you're not paying the store. You're paying, you know, the developer.
Yeah, the app is just an access point.
Exactly.
For something you've paid elsewhere for.
Exactly. So they're trying to open up the possibilities of other markets and increasing the competition.
Sure.
This is a lot. This is something that the United States tries to do a lot. Anytime any one company seems to be controlling too much of market share, they try to break it up. And right now, the App Store market is really primarily controlled by two really big entities, you know,
sure.
Apple and Google Play. So this law may start making people, other organizations may be trying to create their own stores. I was thinking there might be an Arizona State app store
sure.
with all kinds of apps that just affect Arizonans, or a City of Tucson mm-hmm. app store, you know. And, you know, these are things that just might happen in the future. We don't know. But the possibilities are there, and it's amazing how these things are happening. Also, Hurricane Ida, we've been seeing a lot of that in the news, but there's also a technology pinpoint that I just wanted to talk about. So the states of Alabama, Mississippi, and Louisiana, some counties are reporting 55% loss of cell phone service overall, according to the FCC. They had published three articles on September 1st about some of the things. Now, how that affects the public, and these are some things that are important to know if we're ever in a natural disaster. 911 calls are actually flooding in, pun intended, flooding in, right? So the... obviously, there's not enough 911 call takers to answer all these calls. So some of these calls are being rerouted to city officials and mm-hmm. city administrators, city secretaries. But when they get routed to these phones, they don't have the radios and the equipment and everything that right. the 911 center would have. So they're just getting a call. They have no location identification information. They don't know where the call is coming from. They may have gotten some minimal training of how to handle some of these calls. But obviously, response time is affected by all of this. So here are some things to keep in mind in the event of an emergency. So as in previous episodes of the Computer Doctor Show, we had talked about texting 911. You can actually text 911. And it's not available everywhere. Thankfully, it is available here in Tucson. So the City of Tucson, Pima County Sheriff's Office, and the U of A Police Department mm-hmm. Are all 911 associated with text to 911. So if I guess if you're within that 1 mile square of the U of A, your phone will be detected, and if you text, right. it'll go to the U of A, you know, police anywhere outside. So it's location, you know, based.
Right.
So how many times more effective would you say texting in the event of a significant loss of cell phone signal? How much more effective would texting either 911 or just family? How much more, in a percentage-wise, how much more do you think that would be effective?
That's a good question, because, of course, you have the opportunity to give a lot of information very quickly in a text.
Mm-hmm.
And so you think that might increase the ability to have a good response and a good sort of communication flow when 23%.
Okay, we're going to say 800 times
Look out.
More effective
yeah.
to
See,
use
that makes sense.
Texting.
Yeah.
In an event of emergency.
Yeah.
Now, we're not just talking about texting 911 in this instance. We're talking about texting overall. Because if you're in an area where there's maybe one or two bars and you're running around town, you know, trying to find gas or trying to find food to sustain you and your family, you don't know when you're going to have a signal. And if
right.
you've already have a text message kind of waiting in the outbox of
sure.
your phone, the moment it finds a good enough signal, it's going to send it.
It's going to send.
Okay. You don't have to wait, for this. And also a text message, a short text message that says, "We are fine. Thank you."
Sure.
That
relieves services, because now they know they doesn't need a response.
Right. And it takes extremely small amount of data usage
sure.
on the networks, and it can free up the important phone calls, emergency phone calls, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So 800. I was flabbergasted. 800 times more effective in an emergency. So,
It's just amazing. I think the fact of the matter is you can get it done with one text message as opposed to a phone call that might take several minutes of someone writing down an address or capturing a whole series of here's what we need or here's what the problem is.
And exactly.
If I've got all of that in a text, then everything the service I'm trying to reach or the people I'm trying to reach needs is already there.
I don't know about even emojis. If you could just send like one emoji,
and we need a whole new set of disaster emojis, perhaps.
Most probably. Out of the three states that we mentioned, I counted between one and two dozen counties that actually supported text to 911. There are some counties out there that do support it, but the ones that don't. You know, that's where they're seeing this influx of 911 calls. Sure. So we wish the best for them. Also, brute force cybersecurity threats over the holidays. You know, the FBI and the Cyber Infrastructure Security Agency, or the CISA, have issued warnings about attacks over holiday weekends. And this is mainly due to the fact that lots of people are away. And if there is a back door that is already open for them, now would be the time for them to come in and do destructive things while people are, normally they would have 2 days to do this. Now they have 3 days. So what the FBI and the CISA are recommending among their best practices is to use threat hunting software. These are your antiviruses, your malwares, and also using two-factor authentication whenever possible. And they also happen to mention, especially for remote access connections, a lot of people are connecting to their home computer, their work computer, and they're doing things remotely, and lots of people working from home. So find a way to make sure that your connection, and we were talking about this before the show, Si, make sure that there's some sort of security even within that connection. If you're just using something with just a password, make sure there's some sort of two-factor authentication involved with that. And a lot of the Microsoft products, if you're like a large organization like the U of A, that's already kind of inherently
an option.
Involved with the process. Yep. But if you're still using TeamViewer or AnyDesk or any of Microsoft Quick Support, which is the system that's on Windows 10 devices, you just need to be aware of these securities.
And if you have access to a VPN, that's always a good idea to add that layer on top.
Absolutely. Very good. Also, this is just another reminder that you should not pay the ransom if you ever get ransomware. Paying a ransom to criminal actors does not guarantee data will be recovered. Among the best way to fight ransomware is to share information when attacks happen. So the CISA has actually created a whole new website for the whole of government ransomware share information. It's called stopransomware.gov. Again, stopransomware.gov. And that is actually up and now. It's a system where we can actually share information about how something happened or how an attack happened. But we are going to take a quick commercial break. Up in the next, up on the Computer Doctor Show, we're going to discuss passwords, might being a thing of the past in the future. We'll take some of your calls. Stay tuned.
Picks me up in a police car.
Jake, I got it at auction for next to nothing.
Perfect.
Jake, there's hope. It's Perfection Auto Works.
Hey, the band's back together.
We're on a mission from God. Mike is a cop motor, a 440 cubic inch plant. It has cop tires, cop suspension, and cop shocks. It's a model made before catalytic converters. Can you fix it?
Hey, no problem. Just give me the keys.
Fix a cigarette lighter.
All fixed.
Go get him, guys.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, the Blues Brothers.
We want to give a shout out to Perfection Auto Works. Without them, we wouldn't be here tonight.
Hey, thanks, guys. Don't get the blues when it comes to auto repair. No matter what mission you're on, Perfection Auto Works is going to get you there.
323-8650 and PerfectionAutoWorks.com.
Ugly Goose Car Rental is new in Tucson, providing a low-cost auto rental alternative for just $100 per week. The only catch? The cars are ugly, but very safe and reliable to get you to work, school, shopping, and all your important appointments. To reserve your $100 a week car rental, call Ugly Goose Car Rental at 520-261-0439. Again, 520-261-0439.
Computer Doctor of Tucson is the best choice in desktop support in Tucson. They fix error messages, power and boot problems, install of software and hardware, and much more. You can come to them, or they can come to you, or even have a remote support session so they can fix your issues over the phone quickly. Give them a call at 261-5508, 261-5508. Visit them on the web at ComputerDoctorTucson.com. Computer Doctor of Tucson, because technology is great when it works.
Welcome back to the Computer Doctor Show, your source for scam awareness, science, and cutting-edge technology talk. I'm Aaron Moss, your host, along with Cy, co-hosting today from the Unscrewed Theater. Here is an interesting announcement. Apple has announced that the first U.S. states that will support iOS 15's new ability to store driver licenses and state IDs in the wallet app of your iPhone. So Arizona and Georgia are now so in support of that, so you could actually load your driver license into your iPhone as part of your digital wallet. Some of the other states that are going to be following through as well: Connecticut, Iowa, Kentucky, Maryland, Oklahoma, and Utah. So other states are expected to follow. Before we get into our next segment, Cy, what can you tell us about the Unscrewed Theater?
Well, we've got two shows going on tonight. Our 7:30 show is Not Burnt Out, Just Unscrewed, which is the short form like you'd see on Whose Line Is It Anyway? That's a family-friendly show. And then tonight we have a very special one-time-only show. We have Michael DeShalit, who is a comedy hypnotist, coming in from Las Vegas, bringing his Las Vegas show to Tucson for one night at 9 o'clock. That'll be an adults-only show, but it's basically, it's called The Hypno Zone. So that'll be an awful lot of fun, comedy and hypnotism. And then next week we have our two 7:30 shows with Not Burnt Out, Just Unscrewed. And we also have our special Unscrewed Family Hour at 6 o'clock next Saturday featuring Comic Chaos.
My only requirement is that they hypnotize you back to the way you were.
I think theoretically he leaves you back the way he found you at the end of the show.
As long as it happens.
Is an opportunity for folks to get on stage and participate in the show. So it should be a lot of fun.
Okay, here are some tech and science anniversaries. Back in 1993, I didn't calculate how long ago that was. How long ago was 1993? What is it? What, 18 years?
Yeah, there you go.
18 years? Okay.
28 years.
Okay, so September 2nd, 1993, the first search engine W3C catalog was formed. And W3C is, you know, like the www that you put in front of your websites. That system was kind of formed September 2nd, 1993, and basically it was a platform for the World Wide Web on that they would be categorized in that fashion. Other types, of course, were FTP for file transfer. Transferring and others, but that was the worldwide system. Also, September 2nd in 2008, Chrome was released. So the very popular Chrome is great. I use it all the time. And what it was is it was formed outside of the Chromium platform, and so they released it September 2nd, 2008. Also, September 3rd, 1995, eBay was founded. eBay is a great place to is a great place to buy and sell things, and it has been for quite some time still a great place, and I still buy things on there on eBay myself. Also, September 4th, 1994, Google was founded.
There you go.
There we go. So Google Google is still hip and hot, and They're still doing amazing things. They got all kinds of products free for the public, and so many important industries are now practically dependent on the services that Google offers.
Yep.
Also, September 4th, 1951 was the first national TV broadcast.
Really?
So there's a lot of things happening. have a caller. We have Roberta on line one. Hi, Roberta.
Hi, Aaron. Is it safe to really store a credit card or a driver's license or an ID card on the iPhone like that?
It is. It's actually safer to store it on an iPhone than it would be to actually physically carrying it, because it's behind a layer of security. In order to use it or open it, you have to punch in a code. If you could imagine a credit card, and there used to be a credit card that was like this. The credit card was actually like a little microchip where you actually had to punch in a code mm-hmm. with buttons on the credit card itself to activate it or to...
To show the numbers.
Or to show the numbers or even to use it.
Right.
Something like that would be great, but for some reason they stopped making it. They found some security flaws. But to have that on a phone, it's basically the same principle of security.
Yeah. Okay. Provided you have that turned on your phone. You want to make sure you actually do have the unlock code of some kind on your phone too, because if anybody can just pick up your phone, then it's as unsafe as handing them your credit card.
And if you're at retail establishments, retail stores, supermarkets, what have you, and they support the Apple Pay system, when you hold your phone up to that reader, and the information that gets transmitted from your phone to the reader, it's actually encrypted.
And it's not your actual number. It's a spoofed sort of, it feels like a spoofed number. I remember the first time I did that, I saw the receipt and thought, that's not the last four of my card. Did something go wrong? And then I realized, oh, right, because they in fact hide the number. So
or a single use, maybe
a single use token. Yeah.
A token that, wow. So hope that answers your question, Roberta.
It did, but it led to another one.
Okay.
What is there a charge for Apple Pay?
No. If you have an iPhone and you have an Apple ID, which I don't know if you're aware of this, but iPhones are not free. Okay, they do cost you a pretty penny. But all the service after you buy the phone, there's all kind. It opens up all kinds of services. The Apple Wallet is just one of those many services, and everything is free after that. Okay, so. So if you haven't, now I actually know you, Roberta. I think you actually have like an older iPhone. Is your iPhone like a Apple iPhone 4 or 5?
It's a 6.
Oh, it's a 6. Yeah. I'm not sure if 6, 6 may have the Apple Wallet.
That's at the cusp it may have the wallet, but it may not have the current modern security protections, because I think it doesn't go far enough. It's not capable of the latest iOS system.
So we'll have to double check on that for you, Roberta.
I could be wrong, but I think
I'd
6 may be the cutoff point.
Okay. All right.
Would you like me to give a word of warning, because I've had two different texts that sound... Anyone naive would certainly respond to them.
Very quickly, sure.
Okay, one was, may I call you tonight? But there was it was a rare number I never heard before, so I ignored it. You know, there was no other message, no name, nothing. And the other one was, you are number one. Hi, I'm Mike. My number is, it was one digit off of the number that he called from.
You know those error messages that you get when you text a landline that says use text to landline service pay 25 cents blah 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 blah. I just copy that text and then I reply back to some of these bad text messages.
Smart.
So that they'll think that they texted to a landline and then they'll stop. that's a little ninja
technique.
Trick for you. Okay. Roberta, I got to let you go because we just have one more segment that we want to cover before we run out of time.
Yep.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you, Roberta.
So this last segment that I just wanted to cover was passwords might being a thing of the past in the future. So a 2019 report indicated that the average user has 70 to 80 passwords or 5 recircled passwords with slight variations from time to time. 80% of hacks involve compromised passwords. Mm-hmm. So the future is passwords might become a thing of the past, and more companies are doing more to get rid of passwords. Therefore, expect all kinds of biometric sensors at your desk.
Yep.
Things for your fingers, things for your eyes, things for your skin.
And the two-factor. The two-factor becomes a part of that, too.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
It's absolutely going to be a two-factor. Before we wrap up, I just want to thank our sponsor, Perfection Auto Works, for sponsoring the show. Stop by for a 26-point inspection by Perfection Auto Works. My name is Aaron Moss, your host and technology expert. Sai is co-hosting today. Tom Fairbanks is at the control board. Listen to the Computer Doctor Show with new episodes every Saturday. Stay safe. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. And we'll talk to you again next week.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Computer Doctor Show. If you missed any part of this live broadcast, we post all our episodes online at computerdoctorshow.com. Remember, the world is getting more and more tech, and so should you. To stay current with technology, listen to the Computer Doctor Show each week for local and global tech insights. If you have suggestions for a topic on a future show, send us an email at info@computerdoctorshow.com.